Well, good morning. Welcome to Waypoint. My name is Blair. I do some of the teaching around here. I have other responsibilities, and that's what we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about today. This is not going to be a normal service, although we are attempting to change what a normal service is right now. Many of you don't know this, but over the last 2 months, we have been rolling dice to determine what we'll be doing during a service. Like, we come up with a list of creative things, somebody throws a dice, and whatever the number is of that creative thing, that's what we do. And then we evaluate it. We're just trying to test some things. We don't know what will work or what will not, so we're just winging it for the fun of it. And maybe down the road, we'll do it a little more purposefully. But the order of the music this morning was chosen by a dice, okay? I tell you that because the next series we're about to do was not chosen by dice. It's really quite intentional what we're about to try, and it's going to be different than anything that we've ever done before. And we want to give you a heads up before it happens so you're aware of what's happening and why. And here's the other big reason we're telling you about it, is I don't think it will be successful without your help. So I want to start. I'll explain what we're doing and why we're doing, and then you'll understand how you can be involved and help. I'm going to start here. Waypoint is 19 years old. He's going to put a picture up on the screen. This building hasn't always been here. That was the first church service we had on this property. There was, we had to have a little generator to create sound or power for all of our sound equipment. We sat in chairs and all of that sort of stuff. It was a blast. And I'm telling you this because we've been around long enough that we can still remember those early days. We can remember why we chose to do some of the things that we do, and that they were exhilarating and fantastic, and we marveled at God's blessings. We can remember choices and decisions that had to be made that we didn't sleep that night, and we didn't love it, but we knew this is what we had to do, and so we did some of those things. I'm telling you that because part of the thing that we can remember is why we did this all in the first place. There are a couple really big reasons, and I can tell you with some confidence that not only have those reasons persisted and stay with us, I think they are stronger now than they were back then. Let me give you a for instance. One of the things that motivated Waypoint to get going was that we cared about students, we cared about kids, and now we've even extended it to having a daycare. Like, we have ministries that are for students and kids and young people. And we care deeply about those because there are so many things coming at their lives right now. The exposure of things that they're getting off social media, advertising, all that kind of stuff, are leaving kids with record amounts of depression, anxiety, all kinds of stuff, and we feel like we have to be involved in those environments. We have to be engaging early and often with people who are just getting exposed to so much so that we can talk to them about Jesus, his ways, and his values. And so we've made that a priority. And over the years, Waypoint has spent resources. We've hired extra staff. We've done what it takes to make that work. I don't know if you guys remember this at all. There was a small season in the history of the country where there was this thing called COVID. That's probably left your memory. When that happened, churches all around the country, and we were no exception to the rule, lost about 50% of their attendance. But one of the places that did not happen for us was with our students, because we recognized that although they were losing a lot of different places to connect, a lot of the data that was out there said the kids weren't going to be affected by this as much as older adults were, and so we let them keep meeting. And because of that, our numbers remained strong all through that, and still those ministries are going along with quite a bit of energy. In fact, our student ministry has anywhere from 80 to 100 kids. It fluctuates a lot. It fluctuates a lot, and we're going to talk about maybe some of the reasons that happens. But we have those students who are coming to our church on a regular basis. Now, we create all kinds of fun things for them to do. We let them play pretty hard. We have a lot of events that are scheduled, that sort of stuff. But we also offer small groups. We have great teaching. And although students don't always take advantage of everything that we offer, it's available. It's there for them to get a hold of as we point people towards Christ. And just so you understand, it's very odd for a church the size we are to have a youth ministry the size that we have. That exists because we've been committed to being involved in that space with students over a long period of time. And it has been a long period of time. Now, it's not to say that this doesn't go with challenges, and there are a few. Let me give you a few. One of the challenges that we're having right now, this is, it's wonderful and it's interesting. About 50 to 60% of the kids who currently come to our youth group come from homes where the family does not attend church, which is incredible when you think about it, that we have that kind of reach into an unchurched population. It's pretty amazing. It's exciting for us, except sometimes because they haven't been raised in this environment, they don't know how to act in this environment. Like they don't know what the boundaries are. And so quite literally, we have had fist fights at our student ministry. Like, hey, I don't think that's the best thing. But we've used those opportunities to kind of talk with kids, to try and help paint boundaries, to kind of set the standard for where we want to go. But we're mixing kids who don't have any idea with kids who have grown up in church, and they don't get why some of these kids don't get it. Like, why aren't they knowing how to handle themselves and have a little bit of decorum and all of that sort of thing? It's not there. So the student leaders and the volunteers are working hard with that kind of thing, and I think they'll make headway. I think they'll make headway with that kind of stuff. But there's a second challenge that I have been concerned about and have been talking about now for over a year with our student ministry leaders. It's quite simply this. We have an oversized youth ministry, but on the weekend, the youth are not highly represented in our weekend service. And you think, well, that's okay. We're creating an environment for them to go to that we want them to go to. That's true. But what's happening is that eventually, because they're not here, they end up disconnecting. I'll talk more about that. And I would say that they're disconnecting for two reasons. One, their families don't go anywhere. They don't have a pattern. They don't have a habit in their life of ever attending church. It's not on the radar. So they come to a youth ministry. They come to a student ministry and are involved there. But that's all they do. And the second thing that we find that competes with their time and this space is travel sports. So they might be involved in something that takes them away often. And because of those things, what we've identified is that sometimes it feels like our student ministry is a church within our church. They're a group of people who operate together, and they have great experiences, and we've actually tried to expose them to a whole lot of things. So they have retreats, they have mission trips, they have serving opportunities, they do all of those things, but they've been doing them together. And by doing them only together, they never get exposed to the bigger mission of the church. They're never exposed to something that's bigger than what they're involved with, which there's obviously a lot of value in that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a lot of kids who would be attending something like that. So there's value in that, but it leads to this bigger problem that I already mentioned. And we can speak to it with confidence because for years now, we have had large classes of students in our student ministry. And we've watched a trend. And the trend goes like this. You could attend our youth ministry for years, 6th through senior year. And around sometime in the middle of your senior year, you start to conclude that this environment is just too young for me. I'm too close to being an adult. This doesn't feel like an adult environment. And because you haven't like engaged or connected or felt comfortable anywhere else, when you stop going to that, you stop going to church. You're done. You just kind of disconnect and you're gone. Now, this isn't always the case. We've had a few senior classes that had heavy student population. It was because we had some leaders who were seniors who stayed with that and pulled people along with them, and it was incredible. It was incredible. But that's not the norm. That's the oddball kind of years when that happens. And the norm is they kind of disappear. Now, we've also had enough experience to watch this because there are some students who stick with God's kingdom, like church, being involved. And there's a couple factors, and I think both of them together, killer. This first one is probably more important. We've noticed that when students serve somewhere in the ministry on the weekends, they're in a kids' room, they're in a tech, maybe they're on stage or greeting, it doesn't matter where, if they're involved in serving somewhere, when their time in that environment is done, they feel comfortable enough in this environment, this kind of environment, that they continue on. And they usually look for a serving opportunity in another church, and they keep serving. The second thing we've noticed is that when somebody attends with their family, it has a really big impact on that. And when you put those two things together, they're attending with family and they're involved in serving, they'll go to school and get involved with a church. They'll get out of college and then get involved with a church because they're tied into God's bigger kingdom, which is kind of the goal. I mean, we're trying to communicate and help them adjust their course toward Christ so that this is going to be a relationship they have over the long term. But I'm here to tell you, for a majority of the students who are going through our youth programs here, they get to the end, they leave school, they don't have an environment that they know or feel comfortable with, and they stop attending anywhere. And I think it has a lot to do with being a church within a church. The church that they know, the church that they love, the church that they're involved with, they outgrow in age. And because they were never involved, they never found a love for the other one, there is nothing left for them to hold on to, and they disappear. So we've been talking about this for a while, and so we've started experimenting with this long ago. Back in February of 23, we decided to do the food drop on a Wednesday night, and we decided, hey, we got to start doing things with them. Like, we have to start being with each other so that they can see that they're involved in something bigger and that we're involved in this together. And so we did that serving opportunity. It had some challenges. We didn't follow it up this year and do the same thing. Felt like we needed to find different, better solutions. This February, we did a worship night here at on a Wednesday night. We chose Wednesday night intentionally to mix up adults and youth. And it was fascinating. It was really helpful for me to watch because the adults came into an environment that was ready for students, which means they were running all over the place being crazy because we let them use the building hard. That's the whole point. We want them to be here and engaged and having fun. And so they were doing that. And the adults kind of huddled up in a group like, I don't know what's going on, but we got to self-protect, right? And they were in that little space over there in the back of the room. And then the students were everywhere else. And it was a great first step. It was. We have never had that many people at a worship night. Never had that kind of diversity and age at a worship night. The singing was incredible. It was wonderful. We're going to do it again, and I'm hoping as we do it, there'll be more intermingling. There'll be more us and not just our group and their group. But I understand it. When you're uncomfortable, you seek out what's comfortable, and it's natural. It's normal. This is what we do. Part of the experiment for us is not to change what we're doing on Wednesday nights with our student ministries. They're getting stuff done. The kind of conversations that they're having, the things that they're exposing people to, we love it. We want them to continue doing that. In fact, we're so committed to it, you probably should be aware of this. We are close to having a set of plans done for an addition to our building that we're going to put out and see if we can afford to build it or not. And we're considering, this is not the plans, it's one of the preliminary drawings, but it's going to be to add a gym so that we can turn this into an auditorium because they would like to have this space and the upstairs space so that they could meet at the same time. It's really difficult for middle school to meet at one time and high school to meet at a different time. And so they're hoping to combine and do all of that. And we're trying to find a way to pave the way for that. So we're not looking to change that. We still think there's value in what they're doing. But we cannot let this keep going on the way it's going on. If you're paying attention at all, you'll notice in the nation, this is a national trend, church attendance is going down. I've dug into the numbers. I think they're very curious. There's a lot of stuff that's going on that's different per different denominations, all of that kind of stuff. But here's what I'll tell you. I'm convinced that this is one of the things that's happening. We're creating an incredible environment that students love, and we're not finding a way to integrate them into a bigger mission and a bigger vision. And when the time for that environment ends, they don't see the purpose in staying around and involved, and they disappear. And I'll just tell you right now, we have been no different than the national trends on that. And we're concerned about it, and we'd like to do something to change it. So our next series is going to take a stab at that very issue. I think maybe the best way that you can describe this is it's going to be a grand experiment, which means it could be wildly successful or blow up in our face. And I'm really excited to find out which one it is, right? Because if it blows up in our face, all we're going to do is we're just going to learn from that and we're going to figure some stuff out because the issue's not going away and we're not going to stop being concerned about it. So here's what's been happening. Over the last month, Mitchell and Noah have been inviting 100 students to join us for the next 4 weeks. We're taking signups right now. They're signing up to serve with kids or as greeters or with hospitality. They might be on the stage or in our tech booth. We're asking them to come serve with us, to come participate with us, to come worship with us, to be a part of this bigger thing that's going on. And I don't know how many are going to come. Amen. I don't know. I can tell you, this series is going to target them. Don't worry, it's still going to be truth. It's not like it's not for adults. You'll be able to take something away from it, but we want to be talking to them. We want to help them understand why we do this thing called church, why it's a peculiar place, and that they have a place in it. So we're going to be talking to them. But I don't know what's going to happen, because 60% of them, their families don't come to church, and they're not going to find a way to make it easy for them to get here. Just so you know, we're also taking signups to pick kids up and to take them home, because we have two vans out here and there's no reason for them to sit there if they could be used to grab kids. So we're trying everything that we can to find a way to have them be here with us. We're way past the point of no return. The thing's happening. Whether it's going to go well or not, I don't know. I don't have any idea. I can tell you this. As part of the 4 weeks, we're going to do some new things that we have not done at Waypoint before, and it's all part of the experiment. So for the first 3 weeks, it's going to be team teaching. It's going to be two people teaching each one of those things. Why? Well, because we think we're up against a shortened attention span, and we're going to have to find some way to deal with that. And we don't know if that's going to be effective or not. We think it could be helpful for some of you. Yeah. I think I've met some of you, and I'm concerned that you have a shorter attention span than most teenagers. If you just looked up for the first time in 5 minutes, I'm talking to you. Right? Don't raise your hand. We know who you are already. All right? But we're going to do some of those things, and then we're going to evaluate them. We're going to do a panel discussion. We've never done one of those before. We're trying some stuff. Here's where we need you. Like, we really need you to be involved in this way. On the worship night, the adults walked into an environment that was set up for students, and they felt uncomfortable. How do you think they will feel when they're used to an environment that is set up for students, and now they're going to come into an environment that's set up for adults? They're probably going to feel uncomfortable. I need you to talk to them. Say hi to them. Like, pick out 3 or 4 that you're going to see every week. Just catch up on their lives. Find out what's going on. If you see a student serving in a kid's room, or they're helping with coffee or in a greeting, thank them for doing it. Like, help them understand that what they're doing makes a difference. It's like there's meaning for it. Encourage them. Like, if they take your chair, get over it. I know some of you people sit in the same place all the time. They don't know that. And I don't care. Right? Let them sit wherever and go up and encourage them. Encourage them. So that's one thing that you can do. The other thing you can do, listen, if you're a student who's here and you're going to youth group, invite them. You have no idea the power of a personal invite. It says to that person, this person actually values me enough to want me around. And you have a chance to be a leader. Invite them. Invite them to get them here, to expose them to something different so that they can see there's value in this. There's value in the us. Here's what I think's at stake. Paul was writing to a church in Corinth, when he uses this as an illustration. He says, just as a body, though one, this one unit of a body, it has many parts. Y'all know this. Your body's made up of lots of parts. But all its many parts form one body. And then he says this, it's profound. So it is with Christ. That's how That's how God made the church to work. Let me say this as directly as I can. Those students are part of our body. And when they disconnect after a season of time and don't go anywhere, the body of Christ is harmed, and so are they. And that can't be okay with us. They're part of who we are. And we're made better by their presence with us. There's difficulty with doing this. I don't think young people have always been deeply respected. I think that's a problem. I get it. They're difficult to understand. I'm with you. They're hard to understand. But all the complaints that I hear about them, I feel like they're overblown. And it's most likely that you actually haven't got to know one of them. They're great. They have a lot to offer. And there are all kinds of places at Waypoint where a student can get involved and be respected. So if you're sitting on the sideline and you're like, oh, I'm just young, I haven't asked to get involved because I didn't think it would be wanted or needed. You have a place of like gifts that God gave you to use. We want you to use them. You're welcome to use them here. Do it. Invite your friends to join you. This is a place where that can happen. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to try and push it over the top. And I'm warning you because if we have 30 or 40 extra young people come, it'll get a little uncomfortable for you. And that's okay. Because it's not about them and it's definitely not about you. This is about God's kingdom. When Paul was writing, he said in some cases, he would make himself seem more Jewish to the Jewish people. He would make himself seem like he followed the law to people who followed the law. He would make it seem like he didn't follow the law to people who didn't follow the law. He would make it seem like he was weak to those who were weak. And then he says this in the middle of verse 22 in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Like I'm getting out of my comfort zone. I'm getting uncomfortable for the sake of others. And then he tells us why. Here's why. It's the payoff. Verse 23. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. My friends, if there was ever a church that has been blessed by the hand of God, it is Waypoint Community Church. Over 19 years, we have watched what God has done for us, with us. We are not worthy of that. And yet we find ourselves in a place where he has brought a huge group of people who do not have a church background into striking distance for us. Like, they're right there within our touch. And we have to respond with some seriousness to this. I believe that their future and our future are at stake. They will be the people who will reach the next generation. They will be the people who will be the next leaders. They will be the people who will take the next hill. But they won't if they never see the grander, bigger picture of what God is doing and find some comfort level of being involved in that. We have a chance to make a big difference. And it could be as simple as you just being friendly and welcoming to a young student who didn't know somebody would treat them with that kind of respect. They don't have any experience with the space. They don't know. Now, on the other hand, this could go terribly wrong. But here's what I'm going to ask. Would you give us enough grace to let us fail if we need to? because we don't know exactly what to do, but we're going to do something. And if this fails, we're just going to retool and do something else. So if you could just give us enough grace to try, then we'll see where God takes this. We're still committed to that group. And we're not just committed to them when they're done with our ministry and they move on. They are the body of Christ. And we have to help them find their place. I hope over the next week, you'll be praying for these students. You'll pray for the barriers to come down. This is what we do. We're the church. Like, we look for ways to impact the world, to help people adjust their course toward Christ. And we're about to go on mission. So buckle up and let's do this. And there may be, like, I don't know yet. But we may have to come to a few of you and say, hey, we need chauffeurs. Like, just get ready. I don't know. But until then, will you pray and get your heart ready to be disrupted a little bit? Let me pray for us. God, really grateful that you've given our student leaders, the staff and the volunteers, a real heart for students, and it shows. Like, they're coming in large numbers to our ministry. And you're getting a shot at adjusting their heart towards you. And you love those students. I know you do. God, I ask that you would open up their hearts and call them to something bigger. They won't know what it is. They won't know what it's about. But you do. And we do. You're doing incredible things in the world. That if we're willing to partner with you, walk with you, follow you, that we can be a part of. And God, we want them to share in that kind of blessing. Prepare our hearts. If we're going to fail, help us fail big. Help us learn. But God, help us be the church that reaches people and helps them adjust their course toward Christ. I ask for that most of all in Jesus' name. Amen.